And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We're gonna bring it back home now. We had to spend some time there talking about Afghanistan, my monologue, and the first of the Triple Dipper on the new old terrorist safe haven. I'm looking at this story from Dadeville. Man, this thing has gotten so much bigger than it. I mean, it's always big. It was big the moment it happened, right? Right here at home, Dadeville, Alabama, a little small town. If you're not familiar, Dadeville's right down there by Auburn, northeast of Montgomery. What kills me is this was not a gangland type incident that it would appear. This was a young lady, Alexis Dowdle, 16-year-old Sweet 16 party. Crazy people do not have Sweet 16 parties. You know what I'm saying? This was not a big gang venue. This is not a wilding. This is not like hundreds of kids doing a flash mob on the streets of Chicago. No, this was a well-planned out birthday party for a sweet young lady who was turning 16 years old. And one of the articles I read, and I won't go into all those details, it just even says that she was even nervous the day of the party and her brother was kind of comforting her, she said. There were chaperones there. There were adults in the room. Adults, by the way, who were doing a good job of chaperoning as far as we can tell. And I say that because one of the articles points out that at one point one of the adults heard that there might be a kid with a gun there and went and stopped the music and announced that if you have a firearm, you need to leave. Well, it's gotten so much bigger. When I said that a minute ago, it's gotten so much bigger because at first my impression was somebody was a shooter. Or maybe two were shooting at each other and everybody got caught in the crossfire. Y'all, they have just made the sixth arrest. Six. There are now six arrests, and all six of them have been charged with reckless murder. So I can only assume from that the six who have been arrested and charged with reckless murder, that this was something that was like, I don't know if they were all shooting at each other or if they were shooting across the room towards somebody else, if they were intent upon just wreaking havoc and killing people in the room. But here's the deal. I'm looking at the story. CNN has this one. This is international news. CNN has a story dated today. Six people now face murder charges for the Sweet 16 party massacre that left four dead and 32 injured right here in small town Alabama, y'all. Oh my gosh. Says six people, including four teenagers, have been arrested and now face murder charges in connection with the deadly rampage at a weekend Sweet 16 birthday party in Dadeville, Alabama. Here they are. You ready? And by the way, the 15-year-old is the most recent arrest is still unnamed. Why? Anyway, Willie George Brown Jr., 19, charged with four counts of reckless murder. Johnny Latron Brown, 20, of Tuskegee, was arrested and charged with four counts of reckless murder. Wilson Lamar Hill, 20, of Auburn, was arrested and charged with all the same charges. Tyreek McCullough, 17, and Travis McCullough, 16, both from Tuskegee, four counts of reckless murder. And a 15-year-old from Tuskegee, arrested Thursday morning and faces four counts of reckless murder. The problem is, and they're being held without bond, by the way, the problem is we're looking at the situation where there's still four in the hospital that are in critical condition right now. So of the 32 that were shot, 15, four of them died. 15 of those 32 that are, I'm sorry, no, 32 were shot, four died. Of the 32 that were all shot, 15 of them were teenagers who were taken to Lake Martin Community Hospital. And so the statement from ALEA, the Alabama Law Enforcement Agency, is that we're not done yet. And the concern is, depending upon how these people do in the hospital, there could be additional charges. And what that basically means is some of them are so critical that they're concerned they're going to not make it. But here's the thing that gets me. We don't know what happened. We don't know why it happened. What the heck, man? So he says, we can't get into a motive right now, said the ALEA representative. That would be part of an ongoing investigation, and we can't share that. All right, at some point, fellas, you can say something, all right? Well, this was a gang-related shooting, or this was a fight over one of the guys feeling like somebody else was, you know, dancing with his girlfriend, or or somebody was trying to steal money. Who knows? A drug deal gone bad. But it says we can't get into a motive right now. That'd be part of an ongoing investigation. Well, that's crap. At some point, you've got six arrests. You could say what we appear to have is more to unfold. Authorities didn't say what connection, if any, the suspects even had to the Sweet 16 party. We don't even, so where's that part of the article? Let me find this piece. One of the adult chaperones. Yeah, her name is LaShonda Allen. She was the aunt of the young lady who was having her Sweet 16 party. She said her family did not even recognize the names of these teenage suspects. They were not invited to the party. So they show up from Tuskegee, one of them from Auburn. Two of them are 20 years old. One is 17, one is 16, one is 15. Did they travel together? We don't know. Hours later, at the party, it says Alexis's mother heard a rumor that someone at the venue was armed. And she went and stopped the music and made what it says is a stern announcement of the speaker saying, if anyone in here has a gun, you need to leave because we're here to celebrate Alexis's Sweet 16. Nobody left. Allen and the other chaperones, it said, scoured the crowd for anyone carrying a gun but didn't see one. And Alexis and her mother and the DJ didn't hear a fight or any disturbance, so no one knows did they just at a given time start shooting? We don't know. And this kid, the 15-year-old, the most recent arrest, they're not releasing his name because of his age. Screw that. Who was he? Why was he there? Well, anyway, more to come. We're going to talk about it some more and break down a few other things that have happened in and around it, to include some of the first responders talking about what they found when they got there. I mean, this is carnage. This is fish in a barrel. This is like 50 to 60 people in a crowded room with a loud DJ having a birthday party, and lo and behold, some people decide to bring out firearms and start blasting the crowd. And right now we have 4 dead, 32 wounded. Four or five of those are still in critical condition. And 6 arrests, y'all. 6. More on this. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. I'm talking about we cover some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. Yeah, this show goes way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of even Georgia and even Tennessee and even Mississippi. Yes, Lord. What you got?
Hey, so we had a caller call in. It's Barry from Huntsville. And yeah. He was talking about where this took place, and it was in a dance studio.
Yeah.
Just like any ballet studio around any hometown.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Just a big room.
It's not a bar. It's not where anybody hangs out. It's just a dance studio.
Yeah. I mean, it even had the sign out front that said the same thing, Mahogany Dance Studio or something like that. Yeah, I mean, and a Sweet 16 party with chaperones.
Right.
And a DJ. I just the whole thing just blows me away. And I look at it, man, I got this article right here. It's even hard to read. So I got to be honest with you. You know, like we had the body cam footage of the Covenant School shooting in Nashville. They released that, but there's no body cam here because police are coming in after the fact, right? They're coming in after the incident. They're not able to respond to the incident. They're responding to the aftermath of the incident. But, you know, we could see... I'd say it this way. You can see justice being served by the body cam footage We don't have that luxury in this one. You know, they're still tracking down people. They've arrested six. But I don't know if you saw this article, Boomer. We were doing the resources, but Erica Thomas, our friend Erica from 1819, she went and interviewed the first responders. And oh my gosh. I mean, it's a brutal, brutal article. I would encourage you to check this article out. It's up. It's top story on 1819 right now, I believe, 1819news.com. The headline is, "I can't get these sounds out of my head." Golly, said the first medic on the scene of Dadeville shooting, describing the 34 minutes of chaos and desperation. Says Tallapoosa EMS, Alicia Morgan and her son, Walter Kelly, both work there. Alicia Morgan has been doing this for like 20 years. No, 32 years, a paramedic. She says, "I have cried a lot. Looked like I've been hit by a bus," she said. She's a paramedic, been in the business for 32 years, and just after 10:30 p.m. on Saturday, April 15th, she heard the call to go to the Mahogany Masterpiece dance studio and knew immediately it was dire, she said. Said it was the officer on the scene who was asking for assistance. He was giving a body count, how many people had been shot, and I immediately started calling for additional resources, all the helicopters and ambulances you can get me. Golly. Said it was referred to as a mass casualty event, meaning multiple people were injured. And once on the scene, Morgan and Kelly and their partners just had to ignore protocol. She said typically EMS is supposed to stage away from a shooting scene until they're given the all clear, but the situation was so intense and all hands were on deck. She said, "I would normally have staged my vehicles out until we got the all clear." She said, "But there was so much going on, and we knew the risk, but we had to bring all our trucks in as close as possible and just get on it." And then she even says, read this article, y'all. She even says, for a brief moment, Morgan said she was emotionally overwhelmed by what she saw. I got a caller. I'll get to him in just 1 minute, all right? The magnitude, she said, was almost too much to comprehend. She said, "I'm going to tell you, for about 20 seconds, I felt totally helpless. It's the best way I know to describe it. Man," she said, "I just stood there and scanned for everything. Once I got into that room with all those babies, I just did what I had to do." And they started putting green, yellow, and red tags on. They had to triage. They had, she said, normally your training is you're supposed to take care of one critical at a time. She said, "I had multiple criticals, and they all had to have some care. And that's the only way we could take care of them." And then one by one, they began to methodically tend to the patients. And outside, it was terrible. She said, you could hear the chaos of parents screaming and people trying to find out what was going on and wondering, was a shooter anywhere still around? It's rural Alabama, she said. A mass casualty event is not expected. There wasn't time to mentally prepare for what they were seeing. It's an amazing article. And it's something that she points out that these kids, even the ones who survive without a scratch, are going to have PTSD for years, she said. And anyway, this is a mother-son duo. This is a mother and a son who are paramedics together in Tallapoosa, and they work that scene like machines. Sooner or later, they're going to need to be recognized. I mean, whoever their local legislator is needs to have a resolution done in their honor, because no telling whose lives they saved. Have I got a caller on the line? Yeah, I do. Line one, Stephen. I know that, Stephen. Hey, man, how you doing?
Yes, you do. How you doing, Philip?
I'm good, brother. Stephen from Madison. What's on your mind, brother?
Well, I hate to turn. I don't know what all you said about Dable. I just got in the car, but it hit a nerve with me, and I just wanted to run something by you, and I wanted your take on it.
Yeah.
So this shooting, us trying to solve the we versus them, gun rights versus gun control, you know, the left wants to run out gun control every time somebody pulls the trigger,
yeah,
that whole story.
Yeah.
And this situation to me illustrated simply and perfectly the divide that I don't know how we cross. The for 24 hours after this shooting, the authorities, for their investigative reasons, didn't say who did it, how they did it, what they used to do it, how many, what they shot at whom, via, we didn't know anything for 24 hours.
Yeah.
Yet, the Biden administration and the left and everybody else came out and the first thing they said was, see, it's another mass shooting, another reason for gun control or whatever. And they didn't, they could have used their grandpappy Civil War rifle for all they knew. And they used it instantly as that talking point when they knew nothing.
Well, you're spot on, man. That's some cogent analysis right there, because you're right. They leaped out there thinking their agenda could be met, and then lo and behold, there was no extremism, and then lo and behold, there were no assault rifles, they like to call them. None of it. But they're still calling for gun control. Unbelievable. Yeah.
Yep. You know, the other guys, the one in Nashville or Louisville or whatever, you know, you had the kid running around with his AR or whatever, you know, it fit their mental image of the problem. But this one had nothing symbolic under normal circumstances because the police had said nothing.
And they're also not going to have their race relations argument either, because right now what we appear to have is black on black crime. So are they going to lose that narrative too? Apparently.
Apparently, and you know, of course, what won't be said is if you look at those statistics, that rules the numbers game, and they don't. You know, that's part of the problem as well.
Well, you're right, bro. And hey, good to hear from you. Call in more often, man.
Will do. I'll tell you the bad to the bone story sometime.
No, I don't know if I want to do that. I'm not sure what it is.
All of a sudden, Boomer cuts me off.
I've got my own mute button, too. All right. Hey, Stephen from Madison. Take care, buddy. Take care.
Love you. Bye.
All right. See you. By the way, that actually is one of our listeners, one of my old college roommates. He swears he's got stories about me. So, Boomer, you have to be very careful when he calls in.
Oh, I don't know. I think it'd be kind of fun. I'm sure a lot of people would like to hear some of those stories.
No, bro. We just listen. No, I appreciate it. He was spot. By the way, something else he said, I didn't key on it enough, but it was frustrating to me that we were not hearing anything that gave, like, first of all, the shooters were still at large. Should the local public have been told to be wary, to you know, shelter in place? Nothing was said like that. And then on top of that, we're finding out now they were coming in from a different community, these kids, two of them are 20 years old. But why were they there? There's nothing that's going to defeat the investigation by announcing what this crime was related to. Was it a spur of the moment? Was it a gang initiation? Was it a gang-on-gang fight? Was it a drug deal gone bad? What precipitated this? There's no reason why they can't tell us that. Because right now, if somebody wants to have their next Sweet 16 birthday party, they have to wonder, was that something related to the people in the room? Or was that a random act of violence that we just happened to be a gathering they chose to perpetrate on? And we don't know. And there's no reason why they can't tell us that. None. At all. Well, listen, I'm gonna tell you before we go to the break. I'm gonna tell you right now that article. I didn't even get into all of it. It's almost hard to read. So well done by Erica Thomas. I wish I had called Erica and had her come on the show about this. As a matter of fact, but Erica Thomas for 1819 News wrote this piece. It's a lengthy article interviewing the first responders who got on the scene immediately, and the chaos they saw and the aftermath. Because we don't have the body cam footage, we don't have surveillance video, none that we've seen. All we have right now is the recounting of those who were on the ground who described what had to be one of the worst experiences you could possibly. It was true battlefield conditions. And literally, she just went on and just said, golly. The paramedic said, it was hard because every baby that I looked at was a baby. They're babies. Said, I'd never felt so defeated in all my life. But she did yeoman's work that night. All right, folks, more on this. We'll wrap it up when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Man, the text messages, Boomer. This is that place where I have to say the text messages blew up and you have to play the sound effect, right?
Yeah, if I was ready. I have to wait for other things to be done.
By the way, Boomer's on allergy medicine right now.
So there's the delayed reaction.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Tons of texts. You want to get any of them?
Oh, yeah. I want to do one from Newmarket.
Yeah.
He said, excellent article. He went to the resources and found the article. And he said he sent it to his daughter, who is a volunteer EMT.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, that's a great point. I think that's an article that I could see that they need to, like, when you're going through EMT certification, you ought to have to read that article.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't even get it. I don't know that I could have read much more out loud. It was wearing me out. Mm. I mean, I've seen some bad things in my day, but dang, that's next level. Louis from ARAB texted in and says, I wonder how different the outcome would have been if one of the chaperones would have been armed. I don't know, man. But you know, you're firing into a crowd. At some point, you know, wow. Steve from Owens Crossroads says, wait a minute, unless I'm mistaken, none of the shooters is of legal age to purchase a handgun in Alabama. Instead of enacting more laws, how about enforcing the ones already on the books? It's a great point. So this whole gun control thing, well, these kids weren't eligible to go buy guns on their own at their age. So what does that tell you? Criminals are going to break the law no matter what.
They're going to find the weapons if they're wanting to use them.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. What else I got on here? Wendy from Moulton texted in and said, my understanding is they use handguns in the shooting, so what now? Are they going to ban those too? Just goes to show this can happen without using assault-style rifles. Indeed. Well, listen, let me jump over here and sort of wrap this segment up. It's going to be a triple dipper day, by the way. I can sense it already.
It will be.
And we may get done by 4:30. Just call it done.
And thanks for listening.
We're just going to play music for the last half hour. No, but story on Fox News. Alabama mass shooting. Police still search for a motive. They don't have a motive at this point. If they do, they haven't announced it. I suspect they have one now. They just haven't told us. But before I get to the last story in line here, I wanted to point this out. The prosecutors in the area have shared that the birthday girl, the 16-year-old, her name is Alexis Dowdle. Alexis Dowdle was really excited about her party. Her brother is Phil Dowdle, was Phil Dowdle, and that she had been nervous about her party that morning. And she went in to see her brother and talk about, she was worrying, I'm sure, about, are people going to come? What's it going to be like? And that he reassured her. Apparently, he was a really good kid, Phil Dowdle. He was also a star wide receiver at the high school at Dadeville High, and he had just earned a college football scholarship to play for Jacksonville State University. And he was killed. One story that we have about it was that he actually pushed her out of the way and was shot twice in the neck, and that when she realized, as she's laying on the floor, what was happening, she wound up holding her brother while he died. Good gosh. But in the midst of that, you know, we talked about how Democrats jump in with both feet, not knowing the facts, calling for gun control, swearing they know what happened or what the agenda must be. It must be extremism. It must be something. Oh, wait, it was a transgender shooter? No, that can't be. Yes, it was. With an assault rifle? Yes. Yes, it was. What's an assault rifle, by the way? But here's the thing that happened with this one that's even worse, in my opinion. So if you're not familiar with Tabitha Eisner, I-S-N-E-R, Tabitha Eisner is the vice chair of the Alabama Democrat Party. Tabitha Eisner, I'm just going to go ahead and say, is an idiot. Tabitha Eisner, as a fifth suspect, was arrested Thursday before they got number six. As a fifth suspect was arrested, she came out claiming there was hypocrisy for law enforcement to charge them as adults. That's her takeaway. So apparently the district attorney had made a comment. District Attorney Mike Segrist from down that area in Tallapoosa had made the statement when he was talking about this. He goes, these are my kids. These are our kids. Don't mess with our kids. And he was referring to the four that he killed, the 32 had been injured. Tabitha Eisner's response was, Alabama law enforcement, these teens are our children, damn it. These are the only they are only children. We must take extra care to protect them. No one messes with our children. And also, we'll be charging the teenagers as adults. Hypocrisy, hashtag hypocrisy, hashtag Dadeville. Okay. So Scott Buttram, our buddy who's been on the show most recently to talk about this, he caught wind of her ignorant tweet, and he responded this. He goes, second in command of the Alabama Democrats, falsely equating three accused murderers with the four innocent young people they murdered and the 32 innocent they injured, said Scott Buttram. And calling law enforcement hypocrites, when you see violent, lawless mobs in Democrat cities, remember this. Well, then you'd think that Eisner would think, maybe I should shut up now. No. With true diarrhea of the mouth, she began speaking. Eisner doubled down on her comments, it says. Her comment, when someone you love makes a mistake and is locked away in an Alabama prison to be tortured for the rest of their life, maybe they murdered people. Little girl on her 16th birthday held her dying brother in her arms. Anyway, she says, maybe your heart will grow a couple of sizes. For me, all it took was Jesus' promises of redemption for all, but I know that doesn't convince everyone. You know what? The silliness of her comment, the immaturity. At what point does the forgiveness of our Lord and Savior mean that you are not also held accountable? You can be given grace and still have to also face consequences. There are people that are saved daily that are also in prison when they're saved and they have to serve out the rest of their sentence. What a stupid thing for her to say. She says, teenagers don't have fully formed brains. Their changing hormones make them less predictable, even to themselves. We cannot treat them like adults because they are not adults. That doesn't mean no consequences. It means they deserve a second chance at life. I got news. Maybe the kids who were murdered deserve a second chance at life. Maybe the families who lost their loved ones. Maybe the young lady who, on her 16th birthday, held her brother dying in her arms right here in small town Alabama. Maybe they deserve better. Maybe Tabitha Eisner is just an idiot. Maybe this is why, to quote my buddy Scott Buttram, you see violent, lawless mobs in Democrat cities because they have this mindset that you don't have to hold people accountable. Give them a break. They didn't mean it. They're just kids. Their brains aren't fully formed. I got news. They know the difference between right and wrong on murdering. They do. They know the difference between right and wrong, and they chose to take people's lives. And they're being charged as an adult. And they'll be offered the full opportunity for representation under the law. If the attorney can get them charged as a minor, good luck. But right now, Tabitha Eisner needs to, you know, get back in her lane. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.